Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, a podcast presentation of Cadence 13 in association with Black Barrel Media and Ritual Productions. I'm Stacey Orstano.
And I'm Derek Phillips.
Welcome to our second audience participation episode.
If you haven't already, go check out our brand new website at www.cleareyesfullheartspod.com. That's cleareyesfullheartspod.com.
Visit the site, check out our merch store. There's hats, shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, hoodies, info about the show.
Now, we've asked you to send questions to our email address, cleareyesfullheartspod@gmail.com. And you sent some great ones. So let's dive right in. Our first question today comes from Tommy B., who wants to know, have you stayed in touch with your castmates and or worked together on any projects together since FNL?
I mean, that's my family. Of course, I'm friends with all of you guys. It's weird for me to think of not being friends. Obviously, you and I are super close with Annie, Adrian Palicki. We were really close with Michael B. for a long time. Michael B. Jordan, we would hang out, the three of us. And a couple of projects. Taylor Kitsch actually wrote and directed a short film that Derek and I both did. And
yeah, Kitsch wrote a short film that Stacey and I were in. And also Joey Oglesby, who comes in the second season of the show, played Guy Raston. I've worked with, well, and that's another one. Joey also just did a short film with Adrian Palicki. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Taylor Kitsch on that short film. I just got done doing it. Kitsch basically got me this job. He's working on a show right now called The Terminal List with Chris Pratt that's going to be on Amazon later this year. And I've got a small, like, 2-episode recurring role on it that Kitsch not got me. I mean, I had to audition, but he pretty much, he called me on the phone. He's like, did you get that audition that I sent you? And I'm like, oh, that was from you. And he's like, yeah. He's like, it's pretty much yours to lose, so don't screw it up. And so I auditioned for it. And well, you know what happened? I auditioned for one part on it. And Kitsch goes, it's pretty much yours to lose, don't screw it up. I auditioned for it. I didn't get the part.
So Kitsch
calls me
up.
He goes, Chris Pratt gave it to one of his buddies. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I should have become better friends with Chris Pratt then. Mm-hmm. Since you don't have any pull, Kitsch. I'm kidding. And then it wound up happening that there was another part that popped up that I was right for, and they wound up giving me that part. So that's, I mean, but it's 100% on Kitsch that I even had the opportunity to be on that show. So I got to work on that with him. I was on Longmire for 3 or 4 seasons with Luann Stevens. So we got to hang out with each other. Luann Stevens, who played Grandma Saracen. Also on Longmire was a little gentleman named Brad Leland. So Brad Leland and I got to hang out and in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But then there's random stuff too, where like Kitsch was shooting a film in Santa Fe, New Mexico, when I was working on Longmire in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So every single night I'd go out and hang out with Kitsch along with some of the other Longmire castmates and some of the castmates that he was working with on his film. There were 2 years in a row, actually, that Kitsch was shooting in Santa Fe when I was working on Longmire. 1 year he was doing the Smoke Jumpers film? I can't remember the name of it that he did. And then he did Waco, where he played David Koresh.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know who else was down there, Stace, when Kitsch was doing the David Koresh Waco movie? The DP on it was Todd McMullen.
Really?
So Taylor, yeah. So Taylor and Todd McMullen was a camera operator the first season on Friday Night Lights, because David Boyd was the director of photography on Friday Night Lights. The second season of Friday Night Lights, though, David Boyd wound up, I think it was the second season. But anyway, Todd McMullen wound up becoming the DP on Friday Night Lights. And also directed a couple episodes of Friday Night Lights. And he's gone on to direct and DP a lot of different stuff. So I got to hang out with Todd McMullen, who's one of our favorite people on the planet. And he'll definitely be on the show. I actually talked to him and his wife the other day, Heather, who was also a camera operator on Friday Night Lights and the head of the Texas Film Commission at one point in time, who we wound up having a meeting with. I mean, it's crazy. Like, yes.
That's what I'm saying, keeping it in the family. I think also, I know I can speak for you, me, Stephen Walters, our producer, and Joey Oglesby, again, that Jeffrey Reiner has taken us and cast us in other productions after this. He brought me in for Shameless. I ended up doing 5 episodes of that, and it was because of him bringing me in because he was directing the first episode. It's, yeah, we're a tight little family.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Reiner brought me in to work on Trauma. He also brought Steve Walters in to work on Trauma and Kevin Rankin to work on Trauma. And as I said earlier in one of our podcasts, maybe we haven't gone over this. Maybe this is a conversation I have with somebody else. But the first time I actually met Kevin Rankin was working on Grey's Anatomy, and Asha Davis and I worked together on Grey's Anatomy. And all of that came through Linda Lowy, who is the casting director of Friday Night Lights. So yeah, and Stacey also worked on Grey's Anatomy because of casting director Linda Lowy, who was the casting director for Friday Night Lights.
So this way you always got to be on your best behavior. It's a small world we work in.
I also worked on Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Because of Jason Kadams. And then, I mean, there's a ton of people from Friday Night Lights that worked on Parenthood, whether it's Matt Loria, Scott Micah Porter, Kelly, Michael B. Jordan, Micah Kelly. I believe Jesse Plemons was on there as well.
I was offered a role on Parenthood, and I was filming a movie in Louisiana, and they wouldn't let me leave to do it. And I got very, very sad.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah, it really sucked.
But yeah, I mean, and I still hang out with a lot of these guys pretty regularly. It is a family. As I said, when I first moved out to LA, I didn't know anybody. And then Friday Night Lights happened. And it was like when I came back to LA, my second stint in LA, because I left LA for a little while. When I came back the second time around, it was like all of my friends that I have to this day are because of Friday Night Lights. So yeah, still hang out with all these guys. Literally talked to Brad Leland 2 days ago on the phone.
We're a gross little family.
Brad Leland's cat went missing. And so he and I were talking about that, and he was driving over to the shelter to see if they'd found the cat, and they did. And so got their cat back. So that was
Happy endings. Okay, we're gonna move on. Second question. This is a good one from Bao Nock. Who's the funniest person on set? We all know the answer is me.
Please. No, look, Stacey's very funny. There's a lot of very funny people on this set, but there's time in my life.
We have the same answer.
It's Taylor Kitsch. Night that we were all out together. And I mean, when I say I was laughing so hard that my sides were splitting, like I had abdominal pain the next day from laughing so hard.
Tears streaming, makeup running, people mad about continuity. We were just messing everybody's day up.
Oh, that was a totally different. I wasn't even talking about that night, but that night in particular.
There's been a few times that Taylor Kitsch has messed up my makeup. Because when I cry, when I laugh really hard, I cry. And they're like, Stacey, please don't cry. I'm like, it's too late.
I was talking about a night where you, me, Connie, Annie, and Taylor were all hanging out. And Taylor just, I mean, he was killing me. Talking about they had to do a photo shoot for one of the seasons. And Kitsch was just railing on, it was hysterical. But there was a night that Stacey was just referring to where we were shooting a dinner scene where all of us are out to dinner. I think it was in maybe season 3. And it was you and me and I believe Annie and Dana Wheeler-Nicholson.
Mom. It was an engagement party for us.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I don't think I've ever been like this. I couldn't keep a straight face.
None of us could. They were so over us by the end of that. We could not get it to the end of that scene. Yeah. It was ridiculous. But
the crew was
Taylor
laughing
Kitsch
too. That was
he is legitimately funny. He is a funny person.
But it's also really interesting because I think Kitsch is also kind of shy, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. So it's until he kind of warms up to you, you just think that he's this real quiet, reserved guy. And then once he's comfortable with you, it's like the wheels come off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, next question. Marco was asking, Marco is a stunt coordinator, and he's asking, did either of you do any stunts on the show or watch any of the stunts when they were being done? What were rehearsals and shooting like for those? Yeah, I did do stunts on the show. I've done a few. There was a stunt that we just talked about in episode 8 where Taylor and I have our big fight scene. And then there's also, this isn't really a stunt so much as like Justin Reamer was our stunt coordinator. Amazing guy. He's gone on to do Watchmen and a ton of stuff. But like, if you guys saw the big fight scene in Watchmen that came out on HBO, there's like a one cut fight scene that's just out of this world. That's Justin Reamer. He's the one who choreographed that. Amazing stunt guy and stunt coordinator. And so there was a scene where Billy's supposed to be driving down the road and he's like reading something and not paying attention. And he kind of veers over into the left lane. And then I overcorrect when I get back on the road and I'm like, whoa, can't believe that almost happened. Well, it's supposed to be that simple. It's just, I kind of veer over in the left lane, overcorrect back into the right lane. I'm doing it. I overcorrect. I veer in the left lane. I overcorrect to get into the right lane. Go off the road, boom, 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 into a ditch, almost hit a stop sign. And Reamer's sitting there like, what the hell are you doing, dude? And I'm like, sorry. He's like, that was a little too much. Let's try that again. So Reamer to this day, every time I see him, like still gives me crap about that one day. So I was probably not his favorite person to choreograph.
That's so dangerous.
Well, yeah, I wasn't a good driver. I was the only one in the car, though. So just FYI, it's not like I put anybody else's life at risk.
No, but I'm Reamer not worried about walkie, you. I'm worried about the car.
I figured. But Reamer on the walkie is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, sorry. I didn't mean to. I overcorrected and literally overcorrected. But yeah, did you have to do any stunts on the show?
No, I did all of my own dancing. There was a scene where my mama got really drunk and fell through a coffee table.
Yeah.
And we had her stunt double do that. And then also a woman who was just like a stunt, sort of a safety guide, ended up being like my friend in the scene. So she was sitting next to me to make sure whoever was falling through the table was doing it correctly. It's really the only stunt I was around for, except for football stuff.
I mean, yeah. And you were around for plenty of the football stuff. And so like, yeah, we were on the football field every Friday night, pretty much watching the stunt guys do it. I mean, these guys and the hits were real, and these guys, they got banged up. Eric Smart, who Stacy knows, E Smart.
We should have him on the show.
I'd love to have him on the show at some point in time. But he played Taylor Kitsch's stunt double. And basically, any time that there was a white quarterback on the team that we were playing, Eric Smart was the quarterback. He played football at Texas Tech. So he was like a real football player. The guy could throw a frozen rope as a quarterback, but he actually was a safety, I believe, at Texas Tech.
Throw a frozen rope.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart. I'm pretty sure Eric Smart had a broke his collarbone in one of the state championship games on Friday Night Lights. But yeah, man, those guys went after it on the football field. And it's football. It's live football. There are going to be injuries. It was as choreographed as it was. And as tough as these guys are, like to make it look real, there's real hits out there. But yeah, those guys, we got to see them do it every Friday night and sit there and go, watch it.
I will say after that scene where my mama falls through the table, we take her to the hospital and they wanted me outside chain smoking cigarettes because I was upset while my mom was in the hospital. So it's essentially just me in the background while they're inside and I pace back and forth and smoke cigarettes. Not much of a smoker. And they gave me a pack of cigarettes that apparently was like 8 years old. And during one of the takes, listen, I didn't do any stunts, but I really smoked those cigarettes and I threw up during one of the takes.
That was Stacy's stunt, smoking cigarettes and puking.
I threw up and then we went on with the scene. Not my favorite day of filming.
No, not my favorite day either. Okay, next question, Stacey. You got it? You want me to do it? I do it. I'll do two in a row. I don't care.
Reading is hard.
Stacey has trouble reading. Smoking cigarettes and reading are her problems. Phyllis K has a burning question, and the burning question was, what was your favorite thing to do when you had downtime on set?
A couple of things, mostly hanging out with my friends, but there was a base camp PA named Michelle, and she and I loved to make Derek's life kind of impossible. And one time we got a remote controlled fart machine and we put it inside his trailer underneath the cushions inside so you couldn't see it. And we just stood at the door and we hit the little remote control with the fart noises. It's so stupid.
My favorite thing on set was avoiding Stacy on downtime. To be honest with you, I mean, it's a great question, but the reality is I think that most of the time when Stacy wasn't trying to make my life miserable, we were all just kind of hanging out and having conversations with each other.
It was just hanging out, or like we could like watch TV or something if we wanted to. Sometimes Derek and I would have a trailer that our rooms were divided by like a sliding divider door. And usually we just open up that divider door and make our rooms really big and hang out together.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, so I mean, this show, as I said, is different than a lot of shows that I've worked on. There's a lot of shows that you work on where the downtime is literally like everyone's in their own private trailers and no one comes out and no one has any conversation. The only conversation you have is when you're on set. On Friday Night Lights, it was a lot different. It was kind of like base camp was like a common area and everyone would go into their trailers, get into wardrobe, and then we'd all come out of our trailers and just kind of sit around and chat about what was going on until we were called to set.
Here's another secret thing about being on set. My very, very favorite place to be on downtime is in the hair and makeup trailer. First of all, because it's the most comfy chairs at base camp, and it's super air conditioned and they always have like a coffee machine. But that's where the good stories get told, man. They have all the good gossip. If you want to know the good things, hair and makeup trailer.
Yeah. And rule number one as an actor, do not piss off hair and makeup because they know everything and they will.
Everything.
Yeah. Everybody, all the rumors on any set start and end in the makeup trailer.
It's my favorite place to be. Okay. Are you okay? Moving on.
All right. I'm ready.
Alicia F. is wondering, is there a scene that you were in or not that you can't watch without getting emotional? How much time do you have?
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple. There's a ton from the first season. We've already talked about the Phil scene where Street and Herc fall down. And that one's not so much emotional as it is, like, for me, I cried because the acting's so good. I just love that scene. But there's an episode that we haven't gotten to yet. The Son is the name of the episode with Matt Saracen. And spoiler alert, it's after his father passes away. And that scene with him and Coach in the bathroom, every single time I watch it, it just guts me. But that's one that I don't want to get into too much detail about it because we will talk about that episode later. And we'll get into massive detail about that once we get to, I think it's season 3, right? I believe.
Is it? I'm pregnant, so no. I remember having a big belly.
Oh, really? You think it was season 4?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. No. The Son is in season 2. I can't remember.
No, it's not. I'm pregnant. I had a big belly.
Huh.
You know who, speaking of, Taylor Kitsch made us laugh the hardest that day, and it was so weird because we were like, we're supposed to be at a funeral, but like, it's a fake funeral.
It seems to happen sometimes on set, though, when you've got really, really difficult scenes to shoot, though, there needs to be some kind of levity afterwards because it really can stress you out, especially when you're shooting really, really stressful scenes like that, really dramatic scenes like that. Out of respect for each other, everyone's whispering on set. Everyone's quiet when the scene is being set up and the other actors preparing, especially the actor who, you know, Matt, Zach Guilford had a ton of stuff to prep for on that day. So everyone's being quiet and respectful of that. But like the minute that's kind of over with, it's like gangbusters.
It's a party.
Everyone kind of lets loose because the tension's lifted.
There's a
but that scene in particular crushes me. Yeah.
That whole episode. We got nominated for the Emmy for that episode for writing from Roland Jones. Shout out.
There's another one I want to talk about real quick. And it's, I feel like this one is the end of season 3 because Tyra Collette is talking about being in college and she's in a hotel room with Landry. And there's a whole montage going on right before this. And she's reading off the reasons why she wants to go to college.
Oh, it's her essay
she wrote
to get into college.
And
that
one guts me too, because we've seen that character come so far. It's a really beautiful moment. And there's a whole montage going on with all the characters on the show as that season's kind of coming to a close. And I think for me too, on a separate note, I kind of knew that after season 3, there's going to be some characters that are gone. And you kind of feel like it's the end of a bit of an era. So, but I mean, obviously the one that guts me the most, but I'm in it, is the final scene on the show. But not the final scene, the scene before the final scene.
Yeah, that one's good. But this one, Maddie singing Grandma out of the closet is what I always
think. Yeah, that's a big one too.
On to the next question. Jacob Holmuth has a great question here. He says, if the show were to pick up where it left off, what would be your storyline? What would be a storyline you would like to see? What would be a storyline I would like to see?
I really want to see Tyra become something bigger than she ever imagined in high school.
I'd be interested to see what happened with Tyra, 100%. And I'd also like to find out where Landry went off to, because we kind of, like, Landry just kind of disappeared in the end. And I don't feel like we had any kind of closure. I'd like to find out, does Smash make it to the pros? I think he ends up at Texas A&M or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out what happened with that. I'd like to find out if Tim and Tyra are a couple. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of left like they might try and rekindle that.
Oh, gosh, I'm most interested now that you said that in what happened to Landry. We get Jesse on here and ask him what he thinks, where he thinks Landry went.
Yeah.
I'd really like to know the answer to that one. Basically, all of it. We want to know where everybody is.
Yeah, I'd love to know what happened to all these characters.
But we just have lots of babies. I was thinking about it. You realize that the twins that played our son are like 16 years old now?
They're
no, sorry,
old.
12.
Yeah, they're old. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's crazy.
Lord.
It's crazy.
Well, Lord.
They don't come home anymore. They don't.
They don't call. They don't write.
They don't call. They don't write. It's terrible.
Stevie Hannibal. Guys, Stevie one last Hannibal. Question we Was got. I think yeah. Stevie Hannibal Riggins. This one's pretty interesting. Not sure when this episode is going to air, but Freddie W. asks, I keep hearing about an IOTC strike. What is IOTC and would a strike have affected FNL back in the day? So on Monday, we are set to have an IOTC strike. IOTC stands for the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees. They represent over 150,000 people, and it's our crew in the entertainment industry. Anybody from electricians to costumers to camera ops to scripties, even into post-production editors, sound mixers, and people that pay us our paychecks. It runs the gamut of people that make our shows work. And yeah, so they are maybe, unless a deal gets reached, striking on Monday. Derek and I are both on shows right now that will be affected and will shut down when the strike happens. And guys, the things that they're asking for, it's basic human rights. They're asking for a livable wage for the lowest paid among them. They're asking for turnaround hours that are going to give them safety when they're driving home. They're asking for meal hours. Right now, some people don't even get a break to eat food. They're called meal penalties and they work through it. They work, the hours that they are asked to work are completely unattainable, and everything that they are asking for, they should 100% get.
Stacey and I have talked about Friday Night Lights being one of the rare shows that our days on Friday Night Lights were, you know, 10 hours, 8 hours, a lot of times. You know, sometimes we had 12-hour days, and there were a couple of times where we had 17-hour days. That was a rarity on Friday Night Lights. The norm on most shows is about a 12-hour day, with a lot of days going into overtime, which is sometimes 15 hours. For actors, we're kind of lucky because we've got a union that allows us to have a 12-hour turnaround, which means if I wrap at 12 o'clock at night, they can't call me back in until 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Doesn't work that way.
Unless you okay it.
Yeah, unless I okay it. But it doesn't work that way for IOTC members. There are a lot of times where they have 8-hour turnarounds, which means you only have 8 hours from the time that you finish work one night to the time you have to be back the next morning. And that, I mean, it's, and when you're doing that day in and day out, people aren't getting enough sleep. It also doesn't take into consideration the fact that sometimes you're on a set that's an hour away from your house. It's not really a livable situation.
There's nothing livable about it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's a lot of things too where a lot of times productions will shoot any night scenes that they have on a Friday night. So that means Friday night, you might start shoot every day that week. You shot at 6 o'clock in the morning. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you shoot at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then Friday night, your day starts at 7 p.m. right as the sun's setting. And then you shoot till 7 o'clock in the morning, which would be fine. But then on Monday morning, you have to be back at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. So people aren't getting weekends. There's a lot of times where people are having to shoot on Saturdays as well. And it's, our business is one of those businesses that everyone wants to be part of it. Everyone wants to be in this business, and you have to pay your dues. You know, as a young actor, I had to do extra work. I waited tables, I bartended just to have an opportunity to get to be on a show like Friday Night Lights. It's the same thing when you're starting out in this business. You start out as a grip or a focus puller, all because one day you want to be a camera operator so that one day you can become a director of photography, so that one day you can become a director. But if you're starting out as a grip and you're working hours that are unlivable, it makes it very difficult for that person because they can't complain. You can't have a sick day because you'll get the title of being hard to work with, and they'll find someone to replace you. And that's kind of what's going on right now. I'm not trying to push you guys into thinking one way or another about it, but this is what IATSE is, and this is what this strike will potentially
and
be
standing
about.
On a precipice of a strike that would be unprecedented in our industry and just really fast, because these would be people that we wouldn't normally name on the podcast when we're talking about it, but these people made the show happen. They get there the earliest, they go home the latest. So I'm just going to shout out a couple people for a second. Some of our camera ops: Heather Page, Amanda Bruce Parker, Ian Ellis, Jim Marquette, Robert Rendon, Kelly Bogdan, and Steve Page. And then some of our ADs and second ADs: Tony Griffin, Doug Cooper, Casey Goodall, Kalita Ellington, Carla Bowen, and Sean Pipkin is a small number of people that we're going to try to shout out every few episodes, just so their name gets out there. Know that these guys do all of the heavy lifting for us. And just from where I stand, full on IATSE solidarity. I hope that the strike doesn't happen, but I'm on the picket line when it does.
Yeah. And as I said before, these are all members of our crew that are there long before we as actors arrive, and they're there long after we're gone. And I know that there's this idea that this is a very glamorous profession, but trust me, when you're working on sets and you're out on location, it's not very glamorous. I was saying to Stacey the other day, the show that I'm working on, I was really excited because there was a porta potty that we were using that they had just sprayed down, and it was clean inside. And it was like, ooh, fresh porta potty. But that's kind of, you know, half the buildings that you're shooting in are abandoned buildings that are loaded with asbestos. It's not a safe environment. And this is just kind of the nature of the film industry. And it's been this way for a while. And a lot of it is just strictly to save money. But sometimes it's saving money. It not only the joy of people's lives, but at the risk of people's lives. I actually worked on a show.
It's a safety problem.
I worked on a show where one of the drivers, literally, we had just worked a 15-hour day. He had an hour drive back home, and it had an hour drive to work that morning. And on the drive back, we can't be sure 100% that the reason his car crashed is because of lack of sleep. But regardless, he was in a car accident, and he died. And you can't help but think that the hours that these guys put in, these men and women put in, are partially responsible for that. So that's what the IATSE strike potentially will be. And the effect that it will have on you as a consumer and as a viewer of television entertainment is it may mean that when this episode airs, some of your shows are no longer on TV there because they haven't been able to reach an agreement. So it may mean some of your favorite shows are no longer on TV, or there's a little hiatus going on, or films have been pushed back, or television shows have been pushed back. So that's what it means. Hopefully it won't come to a strike, and the producers and the union can come to some kind of an agreement. But
from right now, we have 2 days from the day we're recording.
Yeah.
Lizzie, that was an amazing question. Thank you so much for letting us get that out of our system. And I think that's going to be it for this, our second audience interaction episode. We want some more questions. Guys, send us what you want to know. The email address again: clear eyes full hearts pod@gmail.com.
Join us next time when we talk about episode 9 of Friday Night Lights, titled Full Hearts, with special guest Gaius Charles, who played Smash Williams. But until then, clear eyes,
full hearts.
Can't lose.
Can't lose. Clear Eyes, Full Hearts is a podcast presentation of Cadence 13 in association with Black Barrel Media and Ritual Productions.
Executive producers are Stacey Oristano and Derek Phillips, Chris and Mandy Wimmer for Black Barrel Media, and Steve Walters for Ritual Productions.
Our producer is Miranda Parham.
Send your questions to cleareyesfullheartspod@gmail.com.
Find us on social media. I'm Stacey Oristano on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Derek Phillips on Twitter and _ Derek Phillips on Instagram.
And check out our websites, cleareyesfullheartspod.com, cadence13.com, and blackbarrelmedia.com.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.